Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. It's an amazing scene there. Outside the tomb, Easter morning, Mary stands weeping, wondering where to find the dead body of Jesus. She's got it wrong, doesn't she? She's got it magnificently, gloriously wrong. And then, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Sir, tell me where you've put him. I'll take him away. Mary. Rabboni. John tells us the word means teacher. There's an ending on it. It's not rabbi, it's Rabboni. It means actually my teacher. My teacher. There's a relationship there. Jesus had been called many things. The crowd on Palm Sunday called him the prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. Paul would later call him our Passover lamb. Jesus' name for himself was the Son of Man. Pilate called him the King of the Jews. The centurion standing by the cross called him the Son of God. And it was the day after Good Friday, and the chief priests and Pharisees came to Pilate, and they called him that deceiver. Sir, we remember that when he was alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. Give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. And so, a detachment of soldiers is sent. They seal the tomb. They stand guard. They guard against. Well, what exactly do they guard against? Do they guard against the power of God? No, that would be hopeless, wouldn't it? They guard against a fake resurrection. Do we want a fake resurrection either? No. Only the real thing. Only the real resurrection. And so when Jesus rises on Easter morning, we can say, thank you, Roman soldiers. Thank you. You assured that nothing could be faked here. Nothing but the power of God could conquer and get through. It's the power of God. Easter morning, Mary stands outside the tomb, encounters the risen Lord. All of a sudden, Rabboni, my teacher. What's in that word? My teacher. Teacher. What exactly had Jesus taught Mary Magdalene? Well, many things, but in that moment, in that instant, that split second, he teaches her. He teaches her about the resurrection. He teaches her about life and death. He teaches her that everything she thought she knew about how the world works and about how death is final and all of those other things that are the normal, sad course of existence, that they're all wrong. She was wrong to stand outside the tomb looking for a dead body of Jesus. Gloriously wrong. Because glory is going to come upon her, sweep over her whole existence, and she is going to learn that everything she thought she knew about that day is wrong. She thought she knew life and death. No. The power of God. No. Who God is and what God is like. No. And Jesus, in a split second, teaches her, step away from everything you thought and come into believing what rising from the tomb proves. Oh, yesterday there was death. Today there is life, and it's eternal life. Yesterday there was defeat. Today there is victory. Yesterday the grave was the end. Today the tomb is broken. Yesterday Mary and we might have thought that we were no different from any other animals, just creatures of nature living out our brief lives and then nothing. Today, we know that together with Mary, we have been created to walk with God. Yesterday, God was a stranger to her. Today we have been called friends of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Yesterday Mary was a sinner doomed to die for her sins, and then the judgment day, and that not going well. Today Mary Magdalene, redeemed, bought with a price, and us too, destined to walk with God in light. Yesterday Mary was just simply Mary. Today, she is Mary Magdalene with a message of salvation, and all who hear that message, all who believe it, live forever. This split second where Jesus says, Mary, this is the place where Christianity changes and becomes what it really is. Follow me on this. Imagine what it would be like if everything had left off at that first gospel reading. They find the tomb empty. They go in, they look, and then they go back to their homes. What would it be like? Peter and John would come away from the tomb thinking, oh, something might possibly have happened. They would be telling Thomas about what might have happened. And you know, Thomas, you cannot ever be sure. What if? Stephen would stand before his accusers, and he would hope that there is a Jesus in heaven. Peter would say to the ruling council, you know, it might have happened. And where's the body? Huh? Where's the body? You know that pattern of speech. Sounds like conspiracy theory. You can't ever say that it didn't. But that's not what takes place. Instead of might have been, we've got this absolute certainty, absolute truth, and knowing that it is real. Jesus rose. He appeared to Mary, the two on the way to Emmaus, then to the disciples in the upper room, and Mary comes saying, I have seen the Lord. Jesus comes to the disciples in the upper room and invites them to reach out and touch him and see that he's not just a ghost, they are not just imagining this. A week later, Thomas is invited to reach out his finger and put his finger into the mark of the nail, and not just see with his eyes, not just imagine that it might be, but touch. Maybe probe around a little bit. Is that flesh around there? That hole is still there. What about the hand and the side? It's a very real thing. And it moves everything along this path. Peter stands there in front of the ruling council, and he doesn't say, "You know, you can't ever be certain." Peter stands in front of the ruling council, and he says, "We cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard." The Apostle John says, "What we have seen and our hands have handled, this we declare to you concerning the life." Stephen, first martyr of the Christian church, and then thousands of martyrs in Rome, speak with absolute certainty. Christ is risen. Snuck that one up on you, didn't I? Yeah. They speak with absolute certainty because it is an absolute fact. And somebody has said, a number of people have said, facts are stubborn things, you know? Well, they usually speak it in politics, and then their facts sometimes are to be disputed, but this fact is the most stubborn fact in the whole history of the world. It will not go away. It cannot be explained away. It is not somebody's imagining. And even those who refuse to believe it will stand in front of God one day and know the truth of it. This one fact. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. So, he is the Lord of life. He is the one who has fought death and hell to gain our freedom, to gain eternal life, who sets us free, who sets us on a path of walking with him. And that path is not just for this life, it is for all eternity. We walk through our days moment by moment, side by side, in the company with the one who broke the tomb, the one who broke death apart, the one who conquered and shares that victory with us. It is an absolute certainty, this statement that, here we go again, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. An absolute certainty. And so, down through the ages, century after century, Christians stand there in front of the world, and we proclaim this truth. No matter what happens, he is still the risen one. No matter what happens, he is Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And even in our day, there is a story that came out of Libya recently. Many of you have heard and read of the 21 Christians who laid down their lives claiming that Jesus is their Savior. The story comes from that occurrence that there was one of those 21 who was not at first a Christian. And as their captors went down the line and asked, "Will you renounce Jesus?" and received the answer, "No, he's my Lord. He is the Savior. He is God. He is risen." And as that one saw the Christians holding to that truth, that one stubborn truth, then they came to him and they asked him. And in that moment, the story says, he replied, "Their God is my God." Did he lose his life that day? Or did he gain eternal life. Jesus is the Lord of life. He is the one who won the victory. He is the one who gives us eternal life. And that one stubborn fact is written over our lives. It is worth everything that we could possibly lose for that one fact, because we gain eternity. We gain glory. We gain an eternity with God and walking with Jesus forever. Because of that, it is unstoppable. It is something that cannot be turned back. This Christianity, this confession of Jesus as the Lord, Christianity is a religion of joy. It is the joy of Mary outside the tomb and recognizing Jesus and saying, Rabboni. It is the joy of Mary then running to tell the disciples. It is the joy of Thomas seeing Jesus and saying, my Lord and my God. It is the joy of Philip having baptized the Ethiopian, and Paul being released from prison and baptizing the Philippian jailer and his family, and having them know about Jesus and become part of us to live forever. It is the joy that we have, knowing that Jesus is eternal life and Jesus is ours. It is the joy that comes from knowing his cross is for the forgiveness of sins. His death is to break the power of death. His rising from the dead is to give to us a life that lasts through all eternity, all tucked into that one simple truth that Christ is risen. Alleluia. In Jesus' name, amen.